Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But I think the Sabres have really tried hard to send the message to Levi that they're not going to block his path. And there's going to be a route for him to become the starter of this team if he shows he's ready for it. And now I think, obviously, they're trying to sign him.
That is Elliot Friedman on the 32 Thoughts podcast. Devin Levi, eligible to sign with the Sabres at any time. His college season is not officially over, but it's over. I mean, his teammates are signing. There was a defenseman from Northeastern that signed with Montreal. I'm very hopeful about Devin Levi. There's something about being afraid to trade for a goalie because you're upset that you're afraid it's going to upset your college goaltender. Because that is what Friedman just said. Quote, they weren't thrilled by reports, the Sabres, that they were interested in adding a goaltender prior to the trade deadline because they've made it clear to Levi and his advisors there would be a legit route to the NHL. By the way, Sal, think of how that sounds. That sounds to me like they're giving Levi a chance to be in the NHL next season.
I don't doubt they do. I don't doubt they give Levi a chance to be in the NHL next season
and now compete for it.
I don't know if he will win that, or I don't want to come off as saying that they're lying. How legitimate of an opportunity he gets. Like, maybe, yeah, we're going to give him a chance, but he's got to blow us away to be able to do it, right? Not just win a job.
But that, to me, sounds like Levi, like, they're trying to sell it to Levi to sign here. And part of their pitch is, We're gonna open the door wide open for you.
I don't know if it's as much selling it. It's more of he's planning on signing here. All of a sudden, these reports come out. They're worried that they go, wait a minute. We're planning on going there.
Yeah.
Do we really want to do this? So it's not as much selling it. I think the selling's already done to me. The selling's already done. He's planning on signing. You don't want to give him a reason to back out of that.
Right. But doesn't that kind of read like? Doesn't that kind of read like they won't do anything a goaltender this offseason?
Maybe,
because
yes.
If you trade for whoever, you go get a stopgap, an upgraded goaltender to pair with Lukanen for next year. Even if you want to tell Levi, hey, you'll have the chance to fight for a job, but you just traded what for a guy? I don't know who the example is here. A second-round pick for a goaltender or something to upgrade next season. Levi, I mean, if you're telling Levi legit route to the NHL and you were afraid to trade for a goaltender at the deadline because of that, I don't know. That's not a comfortable position to me if you're the Sabres, where you feel like you can't make a move at goalie if you want because Levi might show up and you have to make sure he has a chance to get to the NHL.
See, I said, I don't think that's their thought. I think their thought is we don't want to lose the possibility of him even signing here, so we can't plant the seed that he doesn't have an opportunity.
So they'll be willing to do it after he signs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's how you operate.
Aren't you kind of lying to the player then, though?
No, you're still going to give him a chance. You're going to give him a chance. They weren't trying to get one now at the deadline, the guy that they know, but hey, you're going to have a chance. We get him under contract. We still make a move, but he's still got a chance to compete here. It doesn't mean they're getting a guy that's a bona fide starter necessarily.
But what is a chance for him? What does he see a chance
at? See, that's a great question. That's where I fall.
Friedman, by the way, he went on to say, we'll see where this goes on Thursday. Today's Thursday.
Is today the day he's going to sign?
Maybe.
Supposed to sign? Maybe he knows something we don't.
He said, Levi is thinking it over. and he's shown he's not afraid to consider non-traditional pathways, but he's clearly ready for professional hockey, and the Sabres have swiped right for the Tinder date. Those are Elliot Friedman's words, not mine.
All right. I love it.
Non-traditional pathways. What does that mean? Does that mean Europe? I have no idea what that means.
I think that just means not signing and going to free agency next
year. The traditional pathway is Rochester.
I think the traditional pathway is you sign with the team that drafted you. The non-traditional is do what Cal Peterson did. Do what Jimmy Vesey did.
Man, that would be crazy, though. Two more years? He's already maybe near NHL ready. Two more years? I'm very curious about what happens here because he is arguably the best goalie in college hockey history. That's arguable that he is.
And that's amazing.
The Sabres are maybe clearing the decks to make sure that he comes here, which on some level I get, but man, I just wouldn't want to sacrifice multiple years of my net because of that. Maybe Lukanen is the player to move off here at some point.
All right, we're going to head out to the Wester Hotline right now. Special guest today, John Buchagross of ESPN, and we really thank him for his time today talking Sabres. We're talking about Devin Levi here.
College hockey.
Devin Levi. John, it is Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, boys. Always love talking to the two Irishmen.
For sure. Hey, we're talking about Devin Levi. We just heard Elliot Friedman's thoughts about, you know, what could happen here and even maybe the Sabres not wanting to upset Levi's camp about adding a goalie and what his path might be. It looks like everything's on track for him to sign in Buffalo. But, John, as you know, until the ink is dry, we're going to be a little bit nervous here.
Yeah, he can go back to school if he wants and then become a free agent next year and pick his team. Certainly has that option. He could kind of force the Sabres to trade him. We saw Adam Fox do that because he wanted to play in New York for the Rangers. Long Island kid. So, yeah, you know, Levi definitely does control things by going back to school this year. He gave himself a little bit more leverage on his future. And so, you know, I'm sure that the Sabres will try to placate him. He's not a sure thing. He certainly looks like a really good talent, smaller goalie, but seems like I'm really impressed with his hockey sense and his athleticism and his instincts. And certainly an organization that is in dire need of a goalie going forward. All the other pieces are in place, but they don't have the most important one, and that's a tough position to be in. So I think it's okay to wait on Levi and see what he does and get that contract, and then you can do what you want in terms of are we aggressive in the free agent market, bring a veteran in, or we're going to go with the kid and kind of work with his camp on what kind of development they see fit. You know, does he go to the American League? Does he get a full year in Rochester starting next year and work his way in? So it's going to be some nervous times. It always is when a college kid is 1 year away from choosing his own destiny.
And we just saw with Eric Portillo, the Sabres actually traded his rights because he was in the same situation. And obviously he looked at Levi here. He looked at UPL here. But the future of goal in Buffalo, it's not just Levi now, it's what he becomes. You just mentioned it. He's not a sure thing. These guys usually take time at this position. When do you think it's maybe earliest possible for him to compete for a regular NHL job?
Well, he's ready to compete right now. I mean, he's better than just about anything they have probably right now. I mean, he's that solid. Certainly Craig Anderson has all the guile and the experience. Can't play a lot, but, you know, he's probably their most competent goalie right now in the organization. But, you know, he's the oldest player in the league. So, obviously his future is 1 year at a time. It might end this year. So he definitely can compete for a job in training camp as they're currently constructing. Now, whether they try to make a move or bring a guy in on the cheap to try to – obviously, they need another guy to play 30 games. He can't come in next year and play 50 games. He's probably at best next year. You know, I don't know if he'd even play half of them, probably close. So they need another guy if they want to sniff the playoffs next year, which they should start to feel that way. You know, next year is when it really should start to ramp up. So, he can compete, but is that smart for a team trying to make the playoffs in year one?
Yeah, we're sniffing the playoffs next year. Like, we're kind of feeling like now that the two things they just need to do is, one, wait for a lot of their guys to grow, like Power, Quinn, a lot of the young guys, and two, right, like this goaltender point of, like, who's going to be in the net next year. Because otherwise, John, like, I guess maybe they could make the playoffs this year still, but that's looking less and less likely. But next year, it feels like if you get your goaltenders right and the young guys grow, they should have a pretty good chance of breaking their playoff drought.
No, unquestionably, they have one of the best defensemen in the league who should be a Norris finalist this year. Tage Thompson is going to be, it appears to be, a 40-goal guy going forward with all kinds of talent. Alex Tuch is the perfect pro. I love Jack Quinn. You can see Paterka. They expect him to make a jump next year like some of the guys made a jump this year, like Cousins. They expect that jump next year. So they're definitely coming, and they're going to have cap room so they could overpay a free agent or a UFA to plug the holes even more. And like you said, you know, Levi's 21 years old. I mean, it's hard to come in the league and be good right away. You know, he'll turn 22 during next season, next December. So, but, you know, so it's not like he's an 18-year-old kid or a 19-year-old kid. He's a little older. He has some experience. But, you know, he's from Quebec. Montreal is also another rebuilding team. Does he want to go there? Is that too much pressure? Carey Price is his hero. So, you know, you never know what goes through these kids' minds. But I think this is the perfect organization for him. It's an organization with a lot of talent. It's an organization with high-end defensemen in front of him, Power, Dahlin, Samuelson, they hope turns into that top four guy. You know, they're a team that on the rise, a team who's patient with a GM and a coach or a very long-view guys. So I think it's just the perfect spot for him. I'm surprised it's taken this long. But, again, they just want to make sure everything's right for their client. And to make sure, hear what the Sabres' plan is, and then think about it. Is this where you want to go? If not, force a trade or go back to school.
It's also an organization that has currently the longest playoff drought in the NHL. But things are looking better, as Joe said. From your outside perspective, coming to Buffalo, seeing the building kind of a 25 to 50% full, it seems at times we're building it up here. It's starting to get a little bit better. What you see from what Kevin Adams and Don Granato are finally doing to get this organization on track, and how important that is in the big picture for the National Hockey League, John?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if the league cares. I don't think they really care who's good, who's not. It's just about revenue and ratings and things like that. But certainly for Buffalo, with the Bills arrived now and being a team who should be good for another 10 years because of the quarterback, you know, to be able to piggyback on that and just kind of have a fun fall and a fun winter and then enjoy the good weather in the summer, it's just kind of, when you're a sports fan, it actually enhances your life. It enhances your experience, your mood. It just makes things more fun and exciting and to distract from the everyday grind. And so, for Buffalo, they're just in a great position. You know, Adams and Granato, I think, are in simpatico. They're a perfect pair to have to look at this. But, you know, now they're reaching the point where, okay, now what's the next step? That next step is hard. There's 32 teams. The talent is spread out. You go a long time in between draft picks. You hope to hit that draft pick. But certainly they are really in a good shape here going forward, especially if they can hit on a trade and then make the right moves going forward. And there's little holes that they plug. But, again, it really is all about the goalie at this point. This team is one really, really, really good goalie away from being a playoff team for, you know, every year for the next, you know, 5 to 10. They're really set up that way. And it's going to be fun to watch and fun to see. The pressure only starts to build. Who do we sign? Who do we trade for? They can't keep all these young guys. Do they package them at some point and get like a Timo Meier, that kind of guy in his 26? I think now the sweet spot is to get guys who are 25, 26, 27. They don't need any more 18, 19, 20-year-olds. Those guys look like they're going to be high-end. So now it gets really fun, but also a lot of pressure on the GM and to identify the right guys and manage the cap.
The other thing that helps going forward will be if teams drop back. And do we feel like this might be it for Pittsburgh and for Washington? Pittsburgh's probably going to make it. They've gotten hot lately. But it seems like, John, that the Penguins and the Capitals are just running on fumes. And I know Washington has said they won't rebuild while Ovechkin is chasing the record. But
right.
I feel like those are the two teams I'm thinking about the most, that their spots are going to be vulnerable.
Yeah, for sure. Washington seems to be going the other way, but you're right. They gave up a number one draft pick for Sandin, who looks like a really good defenseman, a top four defenseman for sure. They'll get Carlson back next year. Kemper looks like a very good goalie. So, you know, they inked up a Trevor Van Riemsdyk, again, another solid top four, top six guy. So, yeah, they're gonna try to see this through. But, you know, Oshie's 35 and Ovechkin, you know, 35, 36, Ovechkin 37, 38. Kuznetsov's still good. Backstrom's on the back end. Yeah, Wilson's still there. Maybe they trade Wilson for multiple assets. So they're still going to be a threat for sure, and a solid threat in the eighth position with a veteran team like the Penguins. But, yeah, you know, the Red Wings are the team they have to look at. Ottawa is a team I would be very afraid of if they can get the goalie as well. It seems like all these teams are kind of the same. They're kind of that goalie away. The Red Wings have their own first-round pick coming up in Kasa, and, of course, Buffalo has Levi. So they all have these young guys. Who's going to hit? that'll make the difference with, like you said, with Ottawa, with Detroit, with Buffalo, with those teams kind of on the way up. And the other teams, you know, certainly in 4 or 5 years, you know, the Sabres could be better than the Bruins and the Capitals and the Penguins and all those teams that are currently on the, even the Rangers, as, you know, Panarin and Zibanejad and those guys age. So, no, they're in a good position, but they are with multiple teams, and it's not easy. Look at the Red Wings. I haven't won a playoff series since 2016, and, you know, the playoff 2016. I haven't won a playoff series since 2013. So, you know, it's hard when there's 32 teams and the same lot of teams make the playoffs every year. Then that's going to be a problem. That's why I really think the NHL will expand the playoffs soon a little bit to give a market like Buffalo and Ottawa and Detroit more hope and more payoff at the end for the season ticket holders.
Expand the playoffs because they're expanding the league? Even if Bettman says that's not happening?
Yeah, just because to get more teams in it. You know, just to say you made the playoffs. Hey, we made the playoffs, whether it's a play-in game, whether we see what the NBA did. Just do it by a team or two in each conference, just to give them, hey, we made the playoffs. Even if it's kind of a fake playoff, if it's not the original top eight. But even if you make it nine, I've been advocating for 15 years, have an 8-9 play-in game, doubleheader Eastern Conference, Western Conference on the Monday to start the playoff week, just to kind of kick it off, a Monday doubleheader, and then everybody else starts on Tuesday, maybe even a back-to-back for the team that wins the playoff. Make it difficult, but have a doubleheader play-in game for 8-9. Hey, you don't want to play in that? Finish seventh. No excuses. I'm sorry. So I think that would be a way to get that 9 team in and give them a little hope down the stretch, try to fight for that 9th spot. Then these, because nothing worse than meaningless full-price ticket professional sports games. That's the worst thing. We see it in baseball in September, and now some of these hockey games. Like, expect fans to go out and spend $80 for a ticket and everything, and parking and food for a game that literally means nothing.
Yeah, and the defense for that on the NHL would be, like, the NBA has the play-in system, but 7 and 8 seeds never win in the NBA. Hockey, I mean, you could sell a team that finishes 9th on, hey, the Blue Jackets beat the best regular season team ever in 4 games, like 5 years ago. Like, you can win if you squeak in.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. Exactly. And again, that's just the way it goes. And it would increase a little bit of the revenue for the players and maybe help them with their escrow and all these kinds of things. Like I said, just make more meaningful games. The American sporting public wants tournaments and wants championships and trophies. I think that's why soccer's growth continues, because they have so many trophies throughout the year. They have all kinds of different leagues. I can't even keep track, but at least they're meaningful little mini tournaments throughout the year. These long, dragged-out regular seasons don't really make much sense. Football, of course, is immune to that because it's a short regular season once a week. That's why their ratings continue to grow, because every game just about seems to matter. There's a couple at the end that don't. But, you know, these long regular seasons for basketball, hockey, and baseball, they need to try to come up with something. First half winners, second half winners, mini tournaments within divisions to create bonus point situations and playoff hunts. There's a lot you can do to create more meaningful games.
John Buccigross on the Western Hotline, ESPN, ESPN Plus. John, we have a lot of Toronto listeners, Southern Ontario, they're Bills fans, and of course, because of the hockey markets being in such proximity. You talked about the Red Wings not getting out of the first round. Obviously, a big drought up there in Toronto, Maple Leaf land as well. They have some high-priced players. They had some turnover. There's a lot of pressure. We have debated here. What happens if it happens again, John?
Yeah, it's you don't know what, you never know what ownership feels like and what boards feel like. What they want to do, do they fire Kyle Dubas? Do they bring someone else in? They're in a weird spot, because if they don't extend Matthews this summer and don't extend Nylander this summer, they probably have to trade them. If you want a guy trading them who you're not sure if he's going to be here in 5 years, I would think they're probably better off keeping Dubas, let him make those decisions, which really will be made by Nylander and Matthews. If Matthews doesn't want to sign an extension, then they have to trade him. Nylander is going to be another guy who's going to demand $11 million a year. You know, Marner's just about already there. I think he's going to come up in a couple of years. They have, they have all these double-digit million-dollar guys. They can't keep them all. And so the cap's only going up $1 million, next year, looks like. Maybe it'll make enough of a jump where they can keep those guys, especially if they take $1 or $2 million less. So it could depend this year on their playoff success. But, maybe if they make the conference final or get to the Stanley Cup final, maybe Matthews is more apt to stay and Nylander as well, and try to keep the band together to try to win a cup or two. But it's going to be interesting. I think they'll beat Tampa Bay in the first round. I really do. I think Tampa Bay is ready to have a year off, and I do think Toronto would win that series despite the advantage in goal. But I would think they're probably better off keeping Dubas no matter what happens because there's such big uncertainty with Matthews and Nylander.
John, I love the fact that every night I can basically just go to the ESPN app and watch every hockey game. It's so much simpler. It's so much. It's really kind of streamlined right there. This relationship, ESPN and the NHL, I know there are a lot of questions when ESPN got it back, but it seems like it's really working out for you guys.
I guess so, yeah. You know, I'm just a grunt. I just, you know, I wait for my paycheck once a week, and I'm just worried about me. But I do obviously want the company to succeed, and I would get the product anyway, obviously, if I didn't work at ESPN. And you're right. It's easy. It's there. There's other programming there. It's not an additional cost to ESPN Plus, which, again, there's a lot of stuff on there, and there'll be more stuff on there. So, yeah, I think it's going well. I guess the ratings are up. I saw a story yesterday, and that's good. I think between us and TNT, we're giving a bigger spotlight on the sport, giving it more shine, giving it more eyeballs with some creative, content, especially since we have when you have two rights holders, there's competition. We want to make sure we try to beat them and they try to beat us. You know, for so many years, hockey only had one rights holder because you could afford it. And that's not really great. You want competition. You want to look over your shoulder and you want leverage too, which is good for people in our business. So, yeah, I think it's going pretty well. Year two of the 7-year deal. And TNT gets the finals this year. We go back and forth. We had it in year one. We'll have it for 4 years. They'll have it for three. So TNT has the finals this year. We'll be done after the conference finals, which is going to feel kind of weird. But, yeah, overall, I think it is easier. Hopefully it continues to get easier. They fix some of these blackout rules and make it even easier for the customers.
If competition breeded the Big City Greens Classic, then I'm all in. Are we getting more? Sal, if you don't know, this is the animated NHL game from the other day.
I heard about it. I know there was something. I haven't watched it. I have to go watch it. I know Shope and the Bulldog were all over it laughing the other day about it. Absolutely.
I want more of them, John.
Yeah. It did look pretty cool. Maybe do a Star Wars character one, a Toy Story one.
Ooh, yeah.
I think it's endless. I don't know how expensive it is. So obviously, this stuff could be expensive, and you need to sell it and make sure it pays the bills. But I think, again, that kind of stuff is happening. I think it's cool. And I think the sport is in a pretty good position. It's tough. Lots of competition out there. Only more things happening. Here comes pickleball, even trying to slice up America's eyeballs even more. So it is hard. If you just stay flat, you're actually winning nowadays. And so the league is tough. You can't rest, and it's a grind every day for all these professional sports leagues, all these television networks, streaming services, radio stations, internet sites. It's tough. It's only getting more and more slicier by the day.
Well, John, we thank you for joining us, and I know that anytime you come to Buffalo, there's a lot of different options for your chicken parm. You know, a lot of places you can go, great restaurants here.
Absolutely. I love it. I can't wait to be back. I won't be back this year, it looks like, so all done this year, but I've been having 3 or 4 games a year, so I'm looking forward to being back next year.
John, thanks for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Be well, man.
Anytime, boys. Peace.
Okay, that is John Buchagos, ESPN. Okay, tell me the Big Greens thing. I don't know. I saw like clips of an animated ice rink. I don't know what. Explain this to me.
Essentially what it was, you said it was like an animated hockey game, which like it almost looked like a video game kind of, but it was just exactly what was happening in the Capitals Rangers game, but they were animated on a different stream. So
this is literally a live mirror, except for animated.
Yes. So I'll show, terrible for an audio medium only, but I'm showing Sal right now the side-by-side of the animated game versus the live game.
It's literally synced up then.
It's synced up, but it's like cartoon characters.
Wow.
So like when he says Toy Story characters.
I didn't realize that this was what it was. What I just thought it was someone created like a game and it was like super cool so people were watching it. I didn't know it was the reflection of an actual game.
It was the reflection of an actual live game that was going on that they were streaming on Disney Plus.
This has got to be like the new frontier, right?
Yeah. I mean, he just said, right, Toy Story characters could be next. How about Lego? A Lego NHL game?
Well, I will tell you,
Joe. The Sabres and whoever. You got Lego Alex Tuck scoring a goal.
All right. You know what? We're at the break. When I come back, I want to say something about video games now and where we are and how all this is working.
Because this is going to be an old man. It's going to be an old man rant.
No, I think the opposite actually.
Okay.
I think I'm going to be like, you're going to think I'm going to be 50 in like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think my take is what most normal about to be 50 year olds would not tell you, but I will tell you when we come back on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
First period, then the Capitals turn it over at their blue line. Chance for a break here as Jost turns and fires, scores! Jost comes away from all of that with a lovely setup and puts Buffalo on top 3-1 with 1:54 remaining in the first period.
Dan Dunleavy on the call right here on WGR and on the Sabres radio network. Sabres are getting just crushed in their own zone, and then Jost had that goal right after that. I mean, what are you going to do? I thought overtime, man. Sabres just had so many chances, and then, of course, here comes a penalty. How many penalties are they going to take in overtime this year? They took one down in Tampa they scored on. They took one the other day when the Rangers beat them in overtime. They took another one last night in the Capitals. Now, they didn't score. The Capitals won in a shootout, but the Sabres have taken penalties in overtime.
It was a tough one, too. I mean, Cousins sticks just on the ice, and it just kind of happened. You don't even want to call an undisciplined call. And the penalty before that, Tuck. Getting into this real quick, Tuck's penalty, the roughing that leads to the game tying goal.
Yep.
I'm going to be inconsistent probably when I say this, because I'm usually the guy that wants no penalties called, or that wants all the penalties called at the end of the game the exact same way you would call them for the rest of the game. Like, doesn't matter if there's 3 minutes on the clock or eight. If it's a penalty, it's a penalty. But they call Ovechkin for slashing. I don't really think it was slashing. Mm-hmm. I think it was just a complete coincidence that when his stick arrived on Labushkin's, that Labushkin's stick broke. I think Labushkin's stick broke because he was shooting and he was putting so much weight on the ice and the stick just snapped. When they call Ovechkin for the penalty, knowing the time of the game, I think they call the Tuck penalty as a little bit of a makeup call.
Agreed.
So if they...
They were looking for something.
If they don't call Ovechkin for a penalty, they don't call Tuck for a penalty, and the Sabres probably win the game.
Tuck opened the door for that by what he did.
He did.
You have to be.
What did he really do though? He lifted his arm up and it got into his face. I guess that's roughing.
Maybe. I think Alex Tuck should have been better there, but I agree with you that that shouldn't rise to the level normally of a penalty. But they were looking for something. He gave them a reason. You have to know in that situation. Do not give them a reason to make up a call here, and that's what they did.
I get it, but man, it was such a soft call.
And then, of
course,
the penalty kill just is not good.
And their penalty kill is like it's death sentence.
And right? Maybe you can watch those goals in animation form coming up soon, because what is that called again?
The Big City Greens Classic.
Big City Greens Classic. All right, so Did you play video games a lot growing up? Do you still play video games?
Yes, not quite as much, but I used a lot. Yes,
I was a video game player growing up. I played a lot of the Super Mario Brothers and Legend of Zelda.
Nice.
Played the Atari 2600 way before you, Joe, Breakout.
Mario Kart?
No, not Mario Kart.
Okay, right,
That's before me. So I did all that. And of course I played, you know, oh my God, Tecmo Bowl, right? It was just amazing.
Yep.
Got to college. NHL 94 was the big one. Everybody loved NHL 94. It was like the big revolutionary kind of all the great players, all the things you could do for sure. I do not play video games anymore. I just don't. I just don't have time for them. My son does. He's 9. And one of the things I've noticed is video games are great. They're amazing. They have all these graphics, which are incredible. But what's happened is we've had this rise of over the last, I don't know, 10 years of the esports stuff, people watching people play video games, right? Like, that's the thing. It's people watching people play video games.
Yep.
And it's become this really big business. And Joe, I could not understand it for a long time. I'm like, how do you watch people play video games and be entertained and like that's your day? How do you do that? Like, come on, they're not performing. It's not like going to an NHL game. It's not like going to an NFL game. But after having a 9-year-old who does this and really gets into it and understands, I've come around and I've said, I get it. Like, I get why this is so big. These are people doing something at the highest of levels that we did. I did this as a kid. I played video games. Somebody there is amazing at it and I'm watching them do it.
Yep.
And now you have these people who do it making millions of dollars being able to do it. And the other part about it is, and like I said, I'm about to be 50. This is not old man on the yelling at clouds, because I'm here to tell you, Joe, like, one revelation I had when being kind of like, this is stupid, I then realized, wait a minute, don't we as adults watch cooking shows?
Yeah,
and
we do.
Lego building shows?
Yeah.
And
home improvement
show. There is no difference. No difference for someone watching people play video games than us watching home improvement and cooking shows.
It's a good take.
It's the exact same thing. So why would I ever make fun of it?
It's a good take. I like it. I agree with it. I don't watch a ton of video games either. Like, guys playing, people playing video games. But I watch a little. But they're right. People, I have one friend who is really into it. He doesn't really even watch TV shows or movies. Like, he'll watch sports, but he watches streams.
Max people, is always watching streams. And
Von
learning
Miller.
Things from them on what he's doing on his video games.
Right. Twitch is really the site where a lot of gamers like stream their stuff. And Von Miller's Twitch gets like hundreds of thousands of viewers. Now, part of Von Miller's Twitch is you're watching him play the video game, but he's also there like answering questions and like he's talking about certain stuff. So there's other interests, but like that's a guy who's in the league, just like, yeah, he's got a Twitch. People watch it.
So my 9-year-old loves jerseys, like sports athlete jerseys. He has Josh Allen, Von Miller, Stephon Diggs. I think, what does he have for the Sabres? He's got he has a black goat head, Owen Power. He's got a Dylan Cousins. He loves Dylan Cousins. He's got a Heritage Classic he saved up and bought. He loves jerseys. He has soccer jerseys, a Messi jersey. He has maybe a Ronaldo jersey. But anyway, he now wants a new jersey, and he keeps asking for one. His jersey he wants is a person named Booga, who is a gamer.
Okay.
I've read about this person. Booga is a gamer who plays Fortnite. Max plays some Fortnite. We try not to do a ton of Fortnite, right? I mean, it's not my style of game for him, but he plays it, and he plays Fortnite, and this person, Booga, has a Wikipedia page. I'll read it to you. Is 20 years old, an American professional esports player who is best known for playing Fortnite Battle Royale. He came to fame after winning Fortnite World Cup 2019. Joe, he won $3 million at the age of 20, winning Fortnite Battle World Cup 2019. And now what's happened is, this is true, here we are, NFL free agency, right? His old team he won with is like changing things. He became a free agent. He played for the Sentinels. Now he's on the, I think you say, Dignitas? Is that how you say it, maybe? I'm not really sure.
Maybe.
And Max is like all in. Oh, my God, they got this guy. He's watching this sport, this esport, as we watch NFL free agency.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Like a guy, it's like a player being traded.
Yes, it's totally the same.
Yeah, that's really funny. There are teams, like I'm thinking about like the salaries and whatnot, like free agency. Like there are NBA tournaments, like the NBA, the video game tournaments, where like the Dallas Mavericks have a team. And I'll see like a press release where like Mark Cuban and the Mavericks agree to like $1 million contract with whatever, whoever, you know, as like a gamer.
And now we have, I mean, what are they doing and even incorporating it into like the Pro Bowl and Madden and things like that, right?
Yep.
Where they're incorporating this into, and a lot of the players playing now are of these ages where they do it. They grew up doing it. It's all about that for them.
Yep.
Wasn't that the thing a couple of years ago at the NHL, like too much Fortnite with a couple of guys or something like that?
There was one player that played too much video games and it was like out there in the media.
And then
the team was upset about it.
And then you had the Kyler Murray thing.
The Kyler Murray thing. Now, the Kyler Murray thing is interesting because, yeah, the first thing that comes up about him, like, he gets trolled for it, like the amount of video games he plays, right?
Right.
The guy, the Redditor that did all the math on how Kyler Murray's stats when it's double point weekend and Call of Duty are worse than when it's not. And Murray had the clause in his contract, right, about, like, the homework and whatnot. The thing about Murray, you wouldn't be... It's not like any player that plays video games is going to get this, you know, this narrative about him, right? I just mentioned Von Miller has a Twitch. Does anybody ever mention Von Miller, like, hey, play less video games? Nobody ever says it. Josh Allen plays video games, right? Like, no one ever says it about him. But Kyler Murray, people do say it about. But there are different levels to it, right? Like, Kyler Murray might be playing it so often and so much that it does become a problem, which is not, you never hear that about Von Miller or Josh Allen, who also play video games. Murray, it might just go above and beyond where he's supposed
doing
it to
be so
doing
much
it.
That he's not doing what he's supposed to for his own career
and,
in the NFL.
And
that's the implication.
Right. And there are other things with Kyler Murray. It's not just that, like the homework clause in his contract.
Right, right, right.
And you just had one of his teammates the other day, Kelvin Beachum?
Beachum? That's what it was, yeah.
He just said out in public the other day, that he needs to grow up.
Yeah, what
Kyler Murray needs to grow up. I think there's way more smoke with Kyler Murray than just the video games.
Well, it's really interesting watching this from afar. And by the way, I am still an advocate. I will be the old man yelling at clouds here, and I don't think that's really what I am when I say I'm still the advocate for playing sports. Like, my son plays multiple sports. We try to do that. But
yep.
I'm okay with the, like, I used to be, come on, what are you doing? Video games, watching people play video games. Not anymore. Like, this is what we do in a different way. And I played video games growing up. Every generation kind of just, you know, even though it's, oh my God, we didn't do this growing up. Well, things change. Times change. And the access to it changes and all that kind of stuff. So I'm totally okay with it. This Booga guy, I mean, I'm going to have to, this jersey, go out and get a Booga jersey. I'm like, who is Booga? Apparently he lives in Pennsylvania and he has this nickname because that's what his grandfather called him when he was younger. So $3 million playing Fortnite last year.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm also, it's time where we're signing up for summer camps. Okay, Joe?
Yeah.
Like, got to figure out, what are we doing on this week? Going to baseball camp here. Like, going to Jim Kelly's camp.
Yep.
I signed Max up for an esports camp. There's an esports camp he's going to go to.
Really?
There's an actual camp that part of it is esports. It's not full on esports for hours and hours.
Okay.
But they have, like, a component of esports. Like, that's going to be part of his summer. So I'm good with it. I think that's, you know, you try to me as a parent, you try to kind of, you know, adapt to what their world is like.
Sure.
And not just, well, you have to fit into what my world was like.
We do have news on the Bills.
Okay. What do we have?
Nothing crazy. In fact, news we kind of already knew, but Field Yates just tweeted that the Bills and Nyheim Hines have now officially agreed to a renegotiated contract that includes a $1 million signing bonus.
Okay.
And a chance to earn more than the $4.79 million in cash that he was previously due. So Hines has more upside. The Bills get more salary cap space.
All right. Well, the incentives must be... I mean, if he did that, that'd be great for both teams, I would think, right? I mean, both sides.
Doesn't that read like a guy that I don't even say open to. A guy they plan on being a significant part of their team?
I think that might be the plan. I think it might have been the plan when they traded for him. It just didn't work out for whatever reason. CJ in Buffalo. Go ahead, CJ. You're on WGR.
Sal, Joe, how you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Sal, real quick, your son got to be the coolest kid I've ever heard of in my life. Just saying, just got to put that out there.
All right, thank you. He's even more cool than you say he is. He thinks he's more cool than you say he is. I tell him all the time, you're not as cool as you think, but you're right. Thank you.
Apple don't fall far from a tree. Hey, so you guys talk about games. So me and my friends, we played franchise on Madden, and you know, you're pretty much the commissioner and the owner. we talk on there, and, you know, we go week to week, and we tried to figure out, like, what could they add to Madden? And we think, like, in an off season in real life, it would be awesome to have, like, players that don't play anymore. Like, for example, just say John Brown, Cole Beasley. These guys in the off season, each NFL team would have a flag football team with players that don't, like, recently played but don't want to play physical anymore, playing a flag football league as far as making bringing revenue or keeping the league interesting. And each week during the off season, they would play each other just like the regular 32 teams do.
A pro flag football league. I actually think, well, don't we have, isn't there something that with this already or going to it? I think that might be the case, Joe. Like, flag football is becoming really, really big, especially on the women's side. It's a huge high school sport that's ballooning now around the country.
Yeah, and there is American Flag Football League exists.
Yep.
What he's almost describing, what CJ's describing, is the football equivalent of what the Big Three is in basketball. The Ice Cube League, where it's like half court, and they have a lot of old NBA players that are playing, like Allen Iverson played in it.
And this isn't a minor league. This is, if you want to, it's actually the post-NFL career.
Yeah,
thing.
Like they're on TV, and it's old NBA guys playing half court. This would be that.
American Flag Football League. Men's division.
I'd watch once.
Women's division.
Couldn't confirm that I would watch twice, but I would watch once.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your Thursday. By the way, got the NCAA tournament starting here in just a little while. We'll kind of dive into that real quickly when we come back on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, we got NCAA tournament action tipping off at 12:15 p.m. today. Today is the day. Tomorrow's the day that Joe and I are going to be down at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Catch us 10 a.m. tomorrow, 10 to 12. We're going to be down there. You can make some bets on games. We'll be watching some games. It'll be really cool. Come on down to Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino tomorrow. Live Extra Point show. We'll be broadcasting live, and the promotions team will be there, Joe, to hand out some cool stuff, too.
Yep. Be fun time. Watch some basketball, which we'll get going just after we're done. So stop by a little early.
What do we have for maybe possible upsets today? I don't think Kansas will get upset by Howard. They do play today, but there is breaking news on Kansas. Bill Self had a heart procedure. He is out for this game. He will not coach for Kansas in this game. Another one seed, Alabama, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi. There is one seed that ever lost, and that is Virginia. That was to Baltimore County, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. It has happened. It's very rare, but
it's the only one, right?
Yeah, it's the only one that ever happened. I went to Syracuse. I literally got on campus, Joe, right after Syracuse became the first two seed to ever lose in the tournament.
Okay.
In the first round. Syracuse lost to Richmond in 1989.
Okay.
It was actually 2 years then, so it was 89. Okay. I want to make sure I got this right. Maybe it was a year after that I got on campus. Either way, I went 91. It might have been the year before that. But either way, Syracuse was the first two seed. Since then, we've had a bunch.
Yeah.
Missouri lost once. Iowa State lost once. Duke lost once a few years ago. We've had a bunch of two seeds lose.
Yeah, Norfolk State is coming to mind. They won.
There you
Lehigh.
Go.
I picked a bunch of upsets for today. Furman, I'm going over Virginia. You convinced me. I'm going Furman over Virginia.
I only said it to Joe. Not that I think they win, but I'm like, if you don't have Virginia, Vance, and Farr, just go with the upset anyway, then.
There is one 12 seed that is a favorite.
A 12 usually beats a 5, at least one. Who is it?
Drake is favored over Miami because I think Miami lost their best player over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So if you're filling out a bracket,
there.
I don't know a lot about college basketball, but I know that guy is out, and Drake is, I think they're favored.
Well, I love Jim Larranaga, so I had Miami advancing. He's the head coach at Miami. Who's your pick? Who'd you pick overall to win it?
Houston. I'm lame.
It's on record. Joe has Houston. I have Purdue. You have Sabres live up next on WGR. One Bills live after that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.